Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written to Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I am your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. So welcome to episode number 33, you guys. And if you follow me on TikTok, then you'll know that I asked the question, what does success look like for you? It's something that my author friends and I discuss all the time, and it's something that I always recommend my clients define for themselves. So let's talk about it. What does success actually look like as an indie author? Hey, y'all. If you've been listening to this podcast, then you'll know that aside from writing fantasy books about black girls who aren't all that nice, I'm also the founder of the Melanin Library. It's an online database of books written by black authors that is constantly growing with new books added every month. It was created to make finding books by black authors a simpler experience and to create a space on the internet where black authors are showcased and celebrated without exception. So on this podcast, I'm going to share with you one of those authors and their book with you right now. The Fall of Souls by R.A. Moreau. This book is a new adult fantasy romance that is the reimagined story of Nubian gods and goddesses. The story follows Anya, who, after losing the only family she has ever known, fights to claim her heavenly birthright before the cycle of rebirth collapses, and Ra, the perfect guardian who faltered on one ill-fated night and is tasked with protecting the hall and its next empress. Filled with passion, secrets, and betrayal, the story follows the lethal politics of the divine and the shadowed secrets of the Hall, the judgment place of all souls. This book released on December 19, 2022. It comes with content warnings for explicit content and mature elements, including language, violence, and on-page sex. You can read the full description of the book on the Melanin Library website. Just head to melaninlibrary.com. And if you're an author and would like to see your book advertised with us, then check out the services page on the Melanin Library website or check the link in the show notes. But that's it, y'all. Let's get back to the podcast. Now, obviously, everyone is going to have their own definitions of success, and I encourage you to have your own definition of success, because what it looks like for you to achieve your goals is not necessarily what it's going to look like for me to achieve my goals. A lot of us have like common ideas of like, you know, we want money, fame, you know, everything that this world has to offer at the end of the grand line. If you watch anime, you probably got that reference. But the point is that we are all looking for something. And for a lot of people, that is, you know, literally money, fame, popularity. You know, there's so much that goes into what success looks like. And the reason that I always say that you need to define what this looks like for yourself is because there are so many people in the world who are going to encourage you to meet their definitions of success. You know, you're only a successful author once you've gone traditional, once you have an agent, once you're, you know, backed by one of the big publishing houses. That is when you are successful in a lot of people's eyes, you know, when they can go to Barnes & Noble and pick up your book, or when they can mention your book and people know your name. Some really common examples of this that I have seen on the internet is, you know, Ayanna Gray. She wrote Beasts of Prey, and she shared the story about how her sister got out of a speeding ticket because, you know, she mentioned to the police officer that she was going to go pick her up from the airport, and the police officer was like, oh, my daughter loves her books, you know, you go ahead and do what you have to do. And obviously that's kind of a far-reaching example, but if you follow any traditionally published author online, you will see a lot of examples of them being like, well, you know, it's really nice to have like this recognizability about them. And I'm not here to say that wanting that and pursuing that for yourself is the wrong way to go about defining your own success. Like I said, there is no right way to go about it, but I know what success looks like for me, and I've talked to a couple of indie authors and they seem to all have their own definitions. And I, like I said at the beginning of this, I asked this question on TikTok, you know, and one of the things that has kind of stuck with me, that has kind of resonated with me regarding this topic and what success looks like, is the fact that for most indie authors, if not me being generous, all indie authors. We just want to connect with people. We want people to read our books and we want people to enjoy them. And I feel like that's really important to say, and it's something that I definitely want to talk about in this podcast episode. So with that said, let's break down some of these markers for success. And for the purposes of this podcast episode, I'm going to be talking about myself specifically and what I define as success, because honestly, that's really like the strongest measuring stick that I have to go by. But there are a lot of things that, like I said, people tend to measure themselves by. So the first one, and I think the most important one, which is why I'm going to put it at the beginning of this podcast episode for indie authors and what success should look like, I think it should be reaching your audience. And I am even going to make a tentative claim and say that I am willing to die on this hill and say that if you are thinking about pursuing self-publishing or indie publishing and your biggest notch of success is not, I want people to read my stories, then I would highly suggest that you revisit why you want to self-publish in the first place, because the reality of it is there is not a whole lot of money guaranteed to be made in this industry, and you're not guaranteed to make it off of your first book, your second book, your third book, and there's a lot of work that has to go into this, and it is a grind. And even when you see traditionally published authors, they are not guaranteed the level of success that a lot of us say that they have off of their first book, second book, third book. One of the most common examples that people talk about is the fact that J.K. Rowling, when she wrote the Harry Potter series, that series didn't pop off into her third book. And she just kept writing the series. And it's just like, people found it and then she became popular. Then she became who she is, you know, terrible person that she is. But I feel like she's worth mentioning in this aspect of the podcast, because a lot of times when people talk about book success, especially in the 2020s, especially when you're talking about millennials, for a lot of us, J.K. Rowling was that first really big, well-known household name where it's just like, yeah, everybody knew about Harry Potter. Everybody had heard about Harry Potter. It was literally a, you know, cultural milestone for most of us. A lot of us grew up with the Harry Potter actors, you know, and a lot of us have memories of those books, whether it be the books, the movies, or anything else. And as adults, a lot of us know why we don't really talk about Harry Potter anymore. But like I said, I felt like it was worth mentioning, because when we see that level of literally rags to riches about, and we hear about how, you know, J.K. Rowling was, you know, a struggling author and she was, you know, writing her books on the train and how she kept shopping her book around and nobody wanted it. And, you know, middle grade fiction was like a dying, you know, aspect of traditional publishing, and then her book kind of came and revitalized it. I feel like one of the things that I always want to mention to people when they bring up having, you know, Harry Potter levels of success is that a lot of what made Harry Potter successful is not necessarily the incredible writing or the incredible story. It's the fact that it just came at the right time. There was a lot of luck involved. There was the fact that, you know, the middle grade genre was dying, so her book was like literally the only one of new content at that time. You know, that's not true anymore. And then also, you know, she was publishing in a time pretty much before the internet got big. So there was also that. And, you know, you had lines of people lining up to go get her book the day it released, because, you know, the whole idea of purchasing a book online or even getting brand new books at the library was not necessarily a thing at the time. It wasn't necessarily pushed at the time. So you have all these different factors going into it. And I am of the mindset that replicating the success that J.K. Rowling has in the 2020s is going to be exceptionally hard, because not only is she like a crappy person, and in the 2020s, it's really important that you have a decent personality to back up your books, because no one is going to want to support you if you are a terrible human being like she is. But there's also the reality that, you know, there is, like I said, that level of creation just doesn't exist. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think so I feel like this podcast is going to be such a rant in so many ways, so just bear with me if you're listening to this. But I feel like trying to replicate her success is so wild to me because I feel like she's already done it. So trying to recreate it would be like, why? And I feel like there's so many other measures of success and other ways to be successful at this point that chasing after something that was very unique to that time period is wild. And if you guys watch anime at all, or if you listen to the podcast, you know that I love anime. And this kind of goes hand in hand with another conversation that happens in the anime community, where it's just like, there are these three anime, they're called the big three. And so many people are always like, ooh, what are the next big three going to be? What are the next big three going to be? And, you know, the people who are really into anime or have been in the anime community for any length of time, or when those anime were popular, understand that it's not something that can just be replaced. It's not something that you can just do again. It's not just a name that you hand out. It's something that's just like, at this time, you know, these anime were the most popular, and it shifted the whole nature of how people in the Western world, meaning United States, you know, view and receive anime. And part of the reason that anime is so mainstream now, and you can watch it on pretty much any streaming service, is because the big three existed. And I feel like that goes back to the level of success that we saw in, you know, the early 2000s or the 2010s with these really big name authors that kind of just took over the publishing world. It's just like, they brought something that didn't exist at that time, or the timing was just right, you know. And I am, you know, talking about Harry Potter, but I'm also talking about like Twilight. That was a whole like fad, fan crazy time to like be alive. It's like every teenage girl who read books had either heard of Twilight, read Twilight, loved Twilight, hated Twilight, had seen the movies. It was a cultural marker. And I think to reach that level of success that a lot of us are thinking about, that's what it has to be. It has to be something that is so widely accepted and interacted with, and, you know, just ingrained in the culture, that no one can deny its significance and the role that it had. Because while Twilight, I will not sit here and say that Twilight is the best book, I was part of that phase. You know, there was a time when I absolutely loved Twilight. Didn't like the second book because I was just like, okay, even teenage Chelsea was like, yo, this girl is about to kill herself over a boy and I don't understand. I don't get it. And I was Team Jacob all the way. Whatever. That's who I am. I live in my truth, right? But it's one of those things where it was so prevalent that it's just kind of like, yeah, you're going to have that level of success, to the point where even years later, I think Stephenie Meyer dropped another book, and it was the same book from Edward's perspective, which honestly, I haven't read it. I'm not going to read it, because why would you want the same story from Edward's perspective? I understand that there are some Twihards who absolutely love it. I am not that person, so please don't come for me. I understand it. I respect it. I just personally am not into it, right? But that being said, it's just like, it was such a big aspect of our culture that it became one of those things where it's like, yeah, like a decade later, she could give the same story from a different perspective and still make buku's amount of money on it. But I think what's interesting about both of these authors that I've mentioned so far, J.K. Rowling and Stephenie Meyer, is that both of them have books outside of their most popular series. And as far as I'm aware, they do not do nearly as well as they could. And even like switching to the more recent releases, there was a time when Tomi Adeyemi was like the name in Black fantasy. Like when Children of Blood and Bone dropped, everyone was talking about it. Everyone couldn't get enough of it. It was the book. And it's one of those things where, again, there was just so much that lined up in her favor. I don't think it can necessarily be replicated or recreated in terms of how successful she was with her book, for the simple fact that her book came out in 2018. And in 2020, we had this really big push for Black fantasy. And, you know, 2020 happened. Let's just put it like that. I'm not going to try to sum it up because there was so much. And I feel like if I tried to verbalize it off the top of my head, there would be so much that I was missing. But, you know, specifically talking about the publishing industry, you had the hashtag publishing paid me. And, you know, after what happened with George Floyd, there was so much push for anti-racism and, you know, pushes for diversity and pushes for being better and doing better. And, you know, the reality of it is that we are, at the time of recording this, a couple of days from going into 2023, and not much has changed, which is part of the reason why I'm so heavy on being indie. But kind of circling back to the point that I was trying to make, Tomi Adeyemi had these circumstances around the release of her book that just worked in her favor, you know? And even then, her book was out before it really blew up, as far as I know. So it's just kind of like, there's so much that has to go into this idea of being successful that I think it's really important to define what that looks like for yourself, especially as an indie author, because it's going to look different. The circumstances are going to look different, and trying to replicate something that was unique to a specific time period, a specific moment in our history as a people, as a culture, is going to be incredibly difficult. And I think if you keep searching for in the past to try to replicate what you want in the future, you're going to miss the opportunities that you have in the present. And it's really difficult because it's just like, not every opportunity knocks twice. Sometimes you have to be ready. Sometimes you just have to get in, and you never know what is going to be that moment that is going to change everything for you until that moment is behind you and you see the aftermath of those decisions. And it's just kind of like thinking like that. I think it's really important to know what that success looks like for you, whether it be really big or really small, so that you don't get discouraged while you're trying to chase this bigger version of success or chase what you think is the full amount of your potential. So with all that said, what does success look like for me? For me, CM Lockhart, Chelsea, I just really, really, truly want people to read my books, and I want them to resonate with them. And I would be happy if even just one person was like, this was the book that I needed. If sometime in the future someone was like, you know, I'm so glad that I found We Are the Origin because it is exactly the book that I needed. It's the book that got me out of my funk. It's the book that showed me that Black girls can be more than just about racism. It was the book that showed me something that I didn't have before, or it was the book that allowed me to see myself, or it was the book that did something for me. Then I feel like I will have achieved what I set out to do. And I have been really fortunate that I've had people contact me saying that exact thing, saying that, you know, they finally felt like they were represented in my book. And it's just like, that is so incredibly moving for me. And that is what gives me motivation to keep writing. And that is what success looks like for me. It is literally people reading my book and loving my book and sharing my book and, you know, telling other people about it. There is really, honestly, truly no words for the feeling where it's just like, somebody loved my book so much that they felt compelled to tell someone else about it, to buy it, to purchase it. Or even in some specific cases, you know, I've had people contact me and say, hey, you know, I'm buying this book for my best friend because I really think she needs to read it. It's so good. And it's just like the idea that not only would someone buy my book, but then turn around and purchase it for a friend or a loved one, or in some cases, just purchase multiple versions of the book. You know, like, I currently have a limited edition of We Are the Origin available for purchase, and it is so incredibly wild and humbling and makes me so grateful because I see the names of the people who placed the order for the limited edition, and it's just like, I know for a fact that some of these people have a copy of my book already because they purchased from me previously. And it's just like, you know, you have multiple copies of my book. Or when someone's on TikTok and they're like, yeah, I just bought the hardback copy, but I want the limited edition, so I'm going to buy that too, and I'll donate my copy to a school or a library. And it's just like, that also is so wild to me, because with schools and libraries, like, you have the opportunity to reach so many people with just a single copy. And it's just like, that is incredibly moving to me that someone would want to read my book and then share it with like their community, their world. And it's just like, wow, thank you so much. So for me, that's what success looks like, at least on a like personal spiritual level, I guess. But obviously for everyone, there is more to success than just someone talking about your book. And I would be remiss if I said that money isn't a part of it. And for me, being fully transparent on this podcast, as I like to do, I have definitely hit some of my definers for success. When I started this journey, I was really really terrified, really scared about how I was going to be able to afford to keep doing this. Because for those of you who don't know me, I write full time. Like, what I do here, the podcast, you know, the Melanin Library, writing, all of that, I do it full time. So I don't have an outside source of income to be able to fund, you know, my writing. And everything that I put into it kind of comes from the household budget. And it's on the promise, the idea that, okay, I'm going to make this money back. This is an investment. I'm not just spending money, I'm investing it in what's going to be, you know, our future. So for me, one of the big markers of success was when I got to the point where I made enough from my book sales to not only have made back the money that I spent putting my book out in the first place, but I also made enough so that I can do what I need to do for the second book without having to pull from our household budget. That was such a huge momentous moment for me that I can't even really truly put it into words, but it's just like, yeah, this is what success is for me. Success money-wise is being able to fully fund my creativity off of my creativity and being able to pay my editor and not wondering, okay, am I going to have to put this on the credit card? Or, you know, being able to order a crate of books and, you know, when I get that bill and it's like, oh yeah, this is going to be like $300. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I got that. And being able to know that, you know, as of recording this, I've sold over 300 copies of my book globally. And that is so crazy to me. Like, there are people in other countries that want to read my book, my little book, my little indie book about a Black girl who is just out here trying to live her best life, who is loved by a Black man who thinks she's absolutely amazing and is out here, you know, carrying out the will of the gods, who is doing what she does best, which is being an assassin. Like, there are really people all over the world who want to read my book. That is absolutely amazing to me, and it's so humbling because it's just like, you know, you see yourself and you're just like, wow, I am really just a dot, a speck in time, an insignificant part of the universe, because when I'm gone, it's going to keep going. But it's just kind of like with this book where the pages and the ink and the story, it's like I've created something that is going to outlast me. And not only that, people are picking it up and they're enjoying it. And oh my God, that is so moving, you guys. I can't even really articulate it fully the way that I want to. So that's what success looks like to me. There's so many aspects to it. And I know for other people, there are things that go into it. So like, yeah, you know, you want the fame and the popularity and I'll say the name clout. You know, there are some authors where it's just like, oh, if this person drops a book, I'm buying it, period, done. Like, I don't care what it's about. I don't care what the premise is. And I think for a long time, John Green was one of those names, especially in that era of like young adulthood when he had, you know, The Fault in Our Stars and then Paper Towns and then Searching for Alaska. Then I think he dropped Turtles All the Way Down and it was just like an immediate buy for so many people, at least on my Tumblr feed, right? Back when Tumblr was a thing. And it was just like, yeah, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty cool. And I know a lot of indie authors, especially in the romance genre, who are like that, where it's just like, there are plenty of people who are like, if this person drops a book, I'm buying it. Like, I have their entire back catalog. I've read their entire back catalog. And I would like to get to that point in my career at some point where it's just like, yeah, CM Lockhart's dropping a book. I don't care what it's about. I'm purchasing it. Like, that would be really, really cool. And I guess that kind of goes into like that fan base aspect, like having legitimate fans and then like having fan art and then, you know, not having that fear of like, okay, how am I going to get my book out there when it's time to release it? I think that would also look like success to me. And I know for some people, it's like speaking engagements and being invited to panels and I'll say desirability, like wanting traditional publishing to reach out to them, because even though it's not common, it definitely does happen where, you know, if your book is successful enough, then traditional publishing will reach out to you and be like, hey, we see you. We want a piece of this. So having that opportunity, like writing yourself in through the back door to traditional publishing, I think is definitely one of the markers for success for some people, not necessarily me. I say this and I will continue to say this. I love being indie. I love everything about it, but I can be bought. Like, my books do come with a price tag. I can absolutely be bought for the right price to sell my books to traditional publishing. But that price does have a lot of zeros on it. I'm not even gonna lie. And I think that is just one of the things that people kind of care about. And also like film and movies. I think that's also a really big measure of success for indie authors. It's just like if they could like cross that barrier to getting their books optioned into movies, I think that would also really matter. And I know for me, you know, I really care about book lists. Like, I want my book included in those lists where it's just like, hey, you know, here are 10 books by fantasy authors that you should read this year. And it's really cool to be included in some of the indie lists. And as of recording this, you know, my book is actually nominated for a couple of Black Book Awards. So that's also really cool. Like, I'm really hoping that I win a couple of them. I really want to win. Today is Friday, so I will know tomorrow what the results are, and I'm really kind of nervous about it. I'm trying not to get myself like too hype or too invested in it, but I'm really excited. I would really love to win one of those awards. Like, the competition is stiff, so I don't really expect to win anything. And one of the cool things is that my author friend and critique partner, Amanda Ross, she's up for the same award in some of the same categories as mine. She's nominated for a lot more categories, and it's well deserved. So I'm so excited for her. And I'm just kind of like, I want one of us to win. I really want one of us to win, and I would have really loved to have my book win an award. I just think that would be amazing. But that being what it is, I think there's so much that goes into this, and I am kind of looking forward to how this publishing industry continues to like shift and shape indie authors, because even though we are not part of the traditional publishing world, we are a part of the publishing world, and as indie authors we definitely do make waves and set trends. And so I would love to in the future see this trend where, just like how indie publishing has grown into what it is from what it was like a decade ago, where it's just like, oh well, if you're self-publishing your book, then you know, you basically just didn't make the cut, or your book is going to be bad, or it's not going to be good, or it's, you know, not going to be professional or whatever, you know, how the concept and the impression that self-publishing has changed over time. I really hope that other aspects of the publishing industry continue to change over time, so that it's like, yeah, you know, as an indie author, we have access to the opportunities to have our books optioned into film and movies and animations. I would love to see that. And I am going to do my best for sure to make sure that, you know, this world, this time that I am alive and able to do what I can do, I want to make as many changes, as many waves as I possibly can. And I think that mindset is what keeps me from wanting to pursue traditional publishing. There's just so much that I feel like I can do without the guidelines, the I don't say the chains, but I'll say the chains of traditional publishing holding me back. Because when I tell you guys that I have ideas and things that I am definitely working on behind the scenes that I don't even want to put into words yet, because there is this level of manifesting that I believe is absolutely true, but I also believe in, you know, real G's move in silence like lasagna. And I'm just like, you know, right now I'm moving in silence, then that's what I'll say about that. But there's so much that I want to do. There's so much that I want to accomplish. And I don't want to play by the rules. I want to break the rules. I want to break the conceptions, preconceived notions of traditional publishing, of indie publishing, of one being better than the other, of what you can expect. And I want to break down some of these barriers of getting our books into visual mediums. And I want to break down some of these barriers of Black authors specifically just getting their book out into the world and getting a fair deal and getting help. You know, there is so much that I want to do. So much that I want to do. So I hope and I pray that I'm able to get it done, or at the very least lay the groundwork for it, so that even if I can't run, I can crawl or walk so that somebody else can after me. I don't know, you guys. I just know that before I leave in this short time that I have on this planet, I want to make a difference. I want to put stories that are going to move people into the world, and I want to make sure that it doesn't end with me. I want to make sure that, you know, if there is a Black girl out there in the world, or a Black boy, or anyone, honestly, who is just like, I want to do this, I want to make a living off of my creativity, I want to be an example to be like, well, look at CM Lockhart. She did it, so I can do it, you know? I want to make sure that no one has to feel like that moment when I felt like, well, maybe my parents are right. Maybe I need to do something practical because there aren't people like me doing what I want to do, so maybe it can't be done. You know, there are so many things, and I think whether I'm alive or not when that happens, you know, if someone can be like, hey Ma, I want to be like CM Lockhart, I may never know if that conversation happens, but for sure that is success to me. That is absolutely success to me.
Hey y'all, if you enjoyed the tips shared in this podcast episode and you're an author looking for some help with your next book, then let me tell you about my coaching services. I offer them through Written and Melanin, a company I created that's all about supporting Black authors. So if you're someone who wants some guidance on your next book, whether it's your first one or your latest one, then I'd recommend checking them out. I offer a free consultation for new clients, so don't be shy about reaching out. I'll walk you through every step of publishing your book, from narrowing down your target audience and figuring out the best way to distribute your book, to how to find a good editor, beta readers, price your book appropriately, and get it in front of readers, and answer any questions about publishing that you may have. The reality is, publishing a book yourself can be overwhelming, no matter how many times you do it. So if you're looking for some guidance and support, head to writtenandmelanin.com to see if I would be a good fit to help.
That being said, you guys, I know this podcast episode was kind of all over the place, but yeah, that is it for this episode of the Written and Melanin podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening as I share what I've learned on my journey as a Black and indie author. If you'd like to support this podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Join my Patreon at patreon.com/CM Lockhart or grab a copy of my book, Where the Origin, from my website, cmlockhart.com. There are links in the show notes for everything, and thank you so much for listening. So, until next time, I hope all your books are full of melanin.